Take your Bible, please. Turn to Genesis chapter 39. Hey, do you remember? Do you remember that day? I remember that day. It was in 1976, in November 1976. A special day. Do you remember that day? The Lord changed your life for all eternity. What a blessing. Hey, I want to say a word publicly of thanks for your many sweet cards and expressions. As we have staff appreciation time, I've received numerous cards, and thank you so much for all of those. We love this church family. This happens to be right at staff appreciation falls at our anniversary time at the church. So 28 years ago, I think yesterday was our first day at Morningside. And we sure are blessed to be here. We sure are, and thankful for this church family. All right, I hope you're in Genesis chapter 39. Let me ask you a couple of questions to think about for a moment. Have you ever been put in a position you just didn't like? Oh, yeah, we got some response there. You've been put in some positions you didn't like. You found yourself doing something or being somewhere, and you really didn't want to do that. How'd you deal with that? It got real quiet all of a sudden. A lot of times the way we deal with that is we gripe and complain. Have you ever been given a job that nobody wants? Oh, wow. How do you deal with that? Life doesn't, you know, sometimes we kind of chart our course and we plan our way and it's going to be this way and this way and this way, and it doesn't work that way. Lots of times we learn some news that's not real pleasant, or we are trying to get this job, and instead we got this job over here. And, you know, things just don't always work out exactly the way that you want them to. Things always work out the way God wants them to for your good. But, you know, when you're right there in it, sometimes we have a tendency to do a little griping and complaining and grumbling and saying, God, what, did you forget about me? So we tend to kind of have us a little pity party. Well, a few weeks ago, we began looking at the life of Joseph. And just a little quick review, there's so much we can learn from the life of Joseph. In chapter 37, we're really introduced to Joseph. And we find out in chapter 37, I call chapter 37 Joseph in the place of privilege, because Joseph was the number one son of his father. Oh, now wait a minute. He was actually the 11th one born. Jacob and his, Joseph's family, Joseph's father, Jacob, had four wives. Let's don't even go there. And he had 12 sons through those four wives, and Joseph is number 11. By the way, for the record, God never instructed or really condoned or blessed polygamy or any of those kind of things, but people do things like that. And the Bible tells the truth about its heroes, doesn't it? So Joseph is the 11th son, the next to the youngest son, but in Daddy's eyes, he is number one. Remember that? Daddy gave him that special coat. Daddy kept him around close to home while everybody else is out working hard. And you remember, Joseph had some dreams. And it wasn't because of too much pepperoni pizza that he ate, but he had some dreams. You remember, he dreamed that all of their sheaves of wheat were bowing down to his, and he dreamed about the sun and the moon and the stars. They were all bowing down to him. Remember that? His brothers did not like him. He was not popular at home. He made a big mistake by bragging on those things and kind of lording his position over the rest of them. And what ended up at the end of chapter 37, his brothers were so sick and tired of him, they wanted to kill him. They decided rather than just kill him and be done with him, they might as well get some profit out of the deal. So they sold him to some merchants, sold him to slave traders to carry him down into Egypt as a slave. So they got some money out of the deal. So Joseph started out in the place of privilege, ends up in the slave caravan heading to Egypt. And then in chapter 39, the earlier part of chapter 39, we're coming in at the very end tonight. The earlier part of chapter 39, Joseph was in Potiphar's house. He was sold as a slave to a man named Potiphar, who was an important and influential Egyptian commander, military-type guy, I think. And he was in Potiphar's house as a slave. You know, a few weeks before, he's daddy's favorite at home, wearing a special coat. Now he's a slave in Potiphar's house. But the Bible lets us know that God was with Joseph in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar could see some very special things about Joseph, and Potiphar promoted him, and it got to the point where Joseph was the number one servant in Potiphar's house. He was sold into slavery when he was 17. I'm guessing he's 22 to 25 years old. He's running Potiphar's household, but you remember Potiphar's wife? Not a real nice lady. She's trying to seduce Joseph, and she's being very forward and direct. And eventually she grabs hold of him, and in his effort to get away, his cloak is left with her. He runs out to avoid the sexual sin, and then what does she do? She uses that cloak and says, look, he came in here to attack me, and accuses him of the wrongdoing. So the mistake Joseph made in that situation, there's one little key thing in one verse. Do y'all remember what the mistake was Joseph made? He went into the house when nobody was there but her. He's the head servant. He could have said, hey, you and you, come with me. We got to go in the house and get some stuff done. But he went in the house when it was just him and her. There was nobody to give him, to corroborate his story. So it's her word against his word. Her husband believed her word. So where did Joseph end up? In prison. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Joseph in prison. Genesis 39, we're going to start in verse 20 and go to through the chapter, chapter 40, and actually end up with chapter 41, verse 1. So let's find out about Joseph in prison and see what we can learn. First thing I want you to notice in chapter 39, verse 20, is that Joseph was put in prison. Look at chapter 39, verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. Now take note of that. He didn't take him to Mayberry and leave him with Barney and Andy in cell number two. He put him in the king's prison, the big time prison. Had Joseph done anything deserving of prison? No. You can respond. That's fine. He was totally innocent in the event. Remember, he's a slave. Did he have any recourse when his master throws him in prison? Could he appeal? He's in the king's prison. The king is Pharaoh. Can he go over Pharaoh's head? Nope, he can't do that. He can't appeal. He can't sue. He can't protest, march around with a sign. He's the lowliest guy in there. Joseph's young adult years were really a roller coaster ride. Number one son to slave, to number one slave and servant. Now he's in the prison again, up and down and up and down. How would you have felt in Joseph's place? And again, he's just a young man. He's not all that experienced in life, 22 to 25 years old. How would you have felt to find yourself, you're on top of everything at home, then you're a slave. You're on top of everything at Potiphar's house, now you're in prison. How do you think Joseph might have felt toward God? Joseph was taught by his father about God. They worshiped God. I tried to do right, and look, what's God? God's forgotten about me. Have you ever felt like God has forgotten about you? God doesn't care. Well, I'm here to tell you, that's not the case. God never forgets about you. God always cares. So the first thing we see, Joseph was put in prison. The second thing we see in verses 21 to 23 of that same chapter, Joseph was promoted in prison. Look at verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph. That's key. That verse starts with but. There's a few places in the Bible where there's the word but, and it's really, really important. Joseph was in the prison, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Let's think about that. God was with Joseph. God showed Joseph mercy. The word there literally means steadfast love. God gave Joseph favor with the keeper of the prison. He's just a prisoner thrown in there. But now the keeper of the prison thinks, hey, this guy is really on the ball. He can really be helpful. So some truths we need to remember there. If you belong to the Lord, He is always with you. Whatever the worst of your bad times are, whatever the best of your good times are, if you belong to the Lord is always with you. The Lord wasn't looking around Potiphar's house and saying, where's Joseph? I know he was here a little bit ago. Where is he now? The Lord knew exactly where Joseph was, and the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord is merciful and loving to His children. And did you notice? God gave him favor in the sight of the keeper. You know, the Lord can give you favor with your boss or your supervisor. You got a boss or supervisor that's really hard to get along with? God can give you favor with that boss. That person may be a heathen, totally lost, hates God and hates everything about God and the church, but God can give you favor with that lost boss. God can even work through lost people for your good. Remember, He's with you. He's looking out for you. So the Lord was with Joseph, showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Look at verse 22. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with Joseph, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. We heard almost the same thing when we read earlier in chapter 39 about Joseph in Potiphar's house. God caused Potiphar's house to prosper and be blessed because Joseph was there. And it said in earlier in the chapter, Potiphar didn't even know what was going on in his house because he trusted Joseph so much. He was such a good manager and supervisor. So the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of everything. Let's be real practical. What do you think he saw in Joseph? Remember, the key is the Lord was with Joseph. But this keeper of the prison, we're talking about a heathen Egyptian who worships the sun, and he worships the Pharaoh, and he worships the moon, and he worships the Nile. He worships all these things. But he sees something in this young man that is different. I don't know exactly what he saw, but he saw something in Joseph that caused him to put trust in Joseph. And the key, I think, is the very end of verse 23. It says, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. I don't know if he had 10 servants, and he gave Joseph a job, and the other ones, he gave them a job, and whatever Joseph did, it turned out 100 times better than the other 10, or I don't know exactly what took place, but the Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord caused everything he did to prosper. Now, I want you to think about Joseph. He was a young adult. Put it in modern terms, he was just out of college. He was just out of Potiphar's college, wasn't he? And he got the worst job imaginable. You know, a lot of times these college students, I'll tell them to kind of be prepared. Because you go to college and they tell you, now you pursue this degree program, you get this four-year degree, and you're going to get out of here and you're going to be bringing six figures and life is going to be great. They tell you that because they want you in that program, okay? That probably won't happen to you. I went to college to be a high school band director, and I just pictured myself leading this great high school band and building up a great program. And I won't even tell you where I ended up because you might know something about the place. but it wasn't the kind of place I was really looking forward to. And rather than being a high school band director, I was a high school band director, a middle school band director, a high school chorus director, and a middle school chorus director. I went to two different schools. They said, when's his planning time? Well, he has about 5 minutes when he drives from that school to that school. It was not the greatest place in the world. Chances are God is not going to take you right straight out of college or whatever your training program is and put you at the top of a major corporation. It's probably going to take time. But you notice that Joseph trusted in the Lord. He obeyed the Lord. He obviously lived for the Lord. We learned that in earlier part in the chapter because when Potiphar's wife is trying to seduce him, he said, how could I possibly commit this great sin against God? So he's living for the Lord, and the Lord blesses him, and the Lord helps him rise to the top or causes him to rise to the top. So something you need to remember, if you belong to Jesus, he can use you and bless you in spite of whatever circumstances you're facing. But wait a minute, God, I'm in prison. Yeah, God can still use you. God can still bless you. God can still bless others around you. So my question to you is this. Are you living and working in such a way that the Lord Jesus can bless you and bless those you work for? So we've seen that Joseph was put in prison. Joseph was promoted in prison. But in the chapter 40, we're going to see that Joseph, while he's in prison, he's ministering to others while he's in prison. Let's look at verses 1 through 4 here, chapter 40. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. Now, I exactly don't know what they did. The butler is literally a cupbearer who brings the cup, brings the wine to the Pharaoh. The baker is a baker. Did he burn the toast that morning? I don't know what he did. But they offended Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Verse 2. And Pharaoh was wroth against the two of his officers. He was mad against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. So Pharaoh was angry with him. He threw him in prison. Hey, when you're Pharaoh, you can do that. You don't have to go by OSHA standards or anything government or something like that. You are the government. You can throw them in prison. So which prison did they happen to land in? Joseph's, the one where Joseph is. And who's charged with caring for the chief butler and chief baker of Pharaoh? You guessed it. Joseph. They were in prison under Joseph's care for some time. Joseph was 28 years old. He's a young man. Look at verses 5 through 8. The butler and baker had some troubling dreams on the same night, verses 5 through 8. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night. Each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in prison. And Joseph came unto them in the morning, and he looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. He noticed something was wrong with them. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of the Lord's house, saying, wherefore look you so sadly today? What's wrong? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. Tell me your dreams. So Joseph noticed they were sad and downcast. He asked them, and they told him that they had both had troubling dreams in that same night. Look back at verse 8. Did Joseph claim to have the power to interpret dreams? Look, I've had this word of knowledge. I'll interpret your dream to you. He didn't claim that, did he? Who did he say could reveal the interpretation of a dream? God. So he didn't claim any special power of his own, but he said, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. Look, he's the one who knows the real God of the Bible in that prison, unless he's led some others to faith in Jehovah. He's the one there. So they're troubled. They've had this dream. He said, tell me about your dreams, and I'll see if God will reveal to me what those dreams were about. So Joseph was used by God to help others. But wait a minute, he's a prisoner. Isn't he supposed to be moping over here in the corner saying, poor me, I've had a rough life. I'm 28 years old. I've been in prison or a slave for 11 years. I was number one at Dad's house. I was number one at Potiphar's house. I'm in prison. I'll get around to ministering to others when things get better for me. Have you ever thought that? Are you available to be used by God regardless of how bad or uncertain your circumstances are? Or do we have the idea, well, you know, when things settle down, I'll get back involved in, I'll help out so-and-so. If this would be okay, then I'll move on to that. Joseph is in prison. He's not got a great life. I doubt he's eating filet mignon three times a day. He's not got a great life. He's in prison. He's in charge of taking care of these prisoners, but he is serving God. I think what God wants us to realize out of that is we need to get to work for him now. You cannot wait until everything in life is perfect, because you know what? It never will be. If you wait for everything in life to be perfect before you get busy serving God, ministering to others, witnessing to others, whatever it might be, you would never will. I think that might be one of Satan's tricks. You can't do that. Just wait. Just wait. Wait until things get easier. Wait until things get better. Look, we've got to serve the Lord right here, right now, in whatever state we are in. So Joseph is offering to help them out and asks about their dreams. Let's look at the dreams. In verses 9 through 13, we have the butler's dream. Look at verse 9. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said unto him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine there were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and the blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, like it used to be. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. So he's dreaming that he's basically kind of back in his job again. But this cluster of grapes has just grown up. And Joseph interprets the dream for him, or Joseph reveals from God what the dream means. Look at verse 12. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches that he saw in the vine are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. So Joseph said, look, good news. You're getting out of here in 3 days, and you're going back into your position, a place of honor and respect, serving Pharaoh. That's really good news. Look at verses 14 and 15, because Joseph makes a request of that butler. Verse 14, but think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. Look, Joseph's human. He wants to get out of there, right? So he says, listen, when 3 days from now, when you go back to Pharaoh's court and you're serving Pharaoh again, mention my name. Tell him about me. I'd like to get out of here. And look what he says about why he's there in verse 15. For indeed, I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. And here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. Did you pay attention to what he said? Why was he in Egypt in the first place? His brothers? Did he blame his brothers? He didn't mention his brothers. I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews and brought here to Egypt. And let's see, Why would he used to be in favor in Potiphar's house, and he was a bigwig there. Now he's in prison. Did he blame Potiphar? Did he blame Potiphar's wife? I think that Joseph is seeing the hand of God working in these circumstances. We have a tendency to point fingers at people. You know, it was you that did this. It was because of him that I'm suffering this way. It's because of her that I'm in this situation. But Joseph's not pointing fingers at anyone. He's just saying, look, I was stolen out of Egypt. I haven't done anything wrong. I shouldn't even be in prison. So he asks the chief butler to remember him. He didn't blame his brothers. He didn't blame Potiphar. He didn't blame Potiphar's wife. He didn't even blame God. You know, God's forgotten me, and here I am in this prison. He didn't blame anyone. I think he's recognizing God's hand. And then in verses 16 to 19, we see the chief baker's dream. Look at verse 16. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said, man, I want to get in on that too, right? When they saw the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket, there was of all manner of baked meats, baked goods for Pharaoh. And the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. So here's the dream. He's got these baskets. And, you know, in other countries, people carry loads by putting them on their head. He's got baskets on top of his head. And the top one, there's cinnamon rolls and honey buns and sweet rolls and donuts. And is that what it says? I'm embellishing a little bit. But there's some good stuff up there. But while he's got these baskets on his head with all that good stuff on the top, the birds are coming along and eating these things, which presumably are supposed to be for Pharaoh. Let's see what Joseph says about that, verse 18. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days. You can see the baker. All right. 3 days. He's getting out in 3 days. I'm getting out in 3 days. The three baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head. All right, I'm getting out of here. Is that all it says? Look back at verse 19. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Back out a little bit, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the bird shall eat thy flesh. I don't think he got a real great love offering from the baker, do y'all? So the baker's dream, he says, means that within 3 days, Pharaoh's going to execute him. Hang him on a tree, the birds are going to eat his flesh. Joseph ministered to others even while he was in prison. But in the last couple of few verses here, the next few verses, verses 20 to 22, we see that Joseph was proven accurate while he was in prison. Verses 20 to 22, look at verses 20 and 21 to start with. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. He brought them in here and got them out of prison, showed them off. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. So, hey, the chief butler, it happened just like Joseph said. Verse 22. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted unto them. Remember, the interpretations came from God. Joseph gave full credit to God. Do you find anywhere in here where Joseph is saying, look at me, look at me. I interpreted his dream. Whoa, whoa, whoa. He didn't put up a billboard. Joseph didn't write a book. My dream interpretation by Joseph written from prison. He didn't write a book. He didn't go on a speaking tour. He didn't start a TV show. He didn't have a call-in dream interpretation radio program. That's what would have happened today. He didn't claim credit. He didn't claim to have a special gift. He only claimed to know the God who can reveal secrets through dreams. That's what he said. By the way, we're talking Joseph, we're talking thousands of years ago. Let's bring it up to today. You have some crazy dream tonight. Does that mean God's speaking something to you? Probably not. God doesn't need to speak to his children through dreams anymore. Why? We've got his completed word. We've got the word. We don't need to have dreams to receive messages from God. Matter of fact, if someone claims to have gotten some message from God through a dream, you better check it out. If it doesn't fit with the word of God in every single point, it's not of God. It's from Satan. It's from the deceiver. So don't be deceived in that way. And don't go home tonight and say, I got to find out what to do about this situation in life. Lord, just talk to me in my dream. No, don't do that. Look to God's word. Seek godly counsel and see what happens then. So Joseph was proven accurate. He was in prison. He was promoted. He ministered to other people in prison. He was proven accurate in everything he said. But the last thing I got to tell you, verse 23 and chapter 41, verse 1, Joseph was forgotten in prison. Yet, look at verse 23, the chief butler is back in his position. He's given the cup to Pharaoh again. When the news media comes, takes pictures, he's right there by Pharaoh with the cup. You know, he's back in his position. But yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. And it came to pass at the end of what? 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed a dream. We'll pick up with that later. Why do you think the butler forgot Joseph? Why do you think he forgot Joseph? Everything that took place in prison, he just didn't want to think about it anymore. Let's put that behind me. I don't even want to think about it. Joseph said specifically, when you get out, please remember me and mention me to Pharaoh. Why do you think he never did it? Busy? You know, I got to press those grapes and all that and get the cup washed and everything and get it to Pharaoh. I'm running around all the time trying to keep up with all this. Just too busy. Say, oh yeah, that guy in prison. You think he was scared? I mean, he is working right there in front of the most powerful person on earth, but he kind of has a rapport and an audience. Do you think he was just uncaring? Hey, I'm out of here. I don't care what happens to the rest of y'all. I don't know. I don't know what the reason is. But for some reason, for 2 full years, Joseph's face and name never crossed his mind, and he never talked to Pharaoh about it. So here he was. Joseph thought, man, you're getting out. I'm getting out too. But he didn't. Maybe a week went by and he thought, he's going to talk to Pharaoh. I'll get out of here. Just y'all wait and see. I'm getting out of here. Maybe 2 weeks. Well, you know, he's been busy getting back on the job and all that stuff. Give him a little time. Maybe a month goes by. 2 years, Joseph is still in the prison. If you were Joseph, how would you feel toward that chief butler? Man, if I ever get my hands on him, he might have thought some ungodly thoughts. I don't know. Hope not. If you were Joseph, how would you feel toward God? God, you revealed the truth to me. You showed me the interpretation of the dream, and I told them what it was, and it proved out exactly right. And it's been 18 months, and I'm still here in the prison. 19 months, 20 months. Am I ever getting out of here? My 30th birthday is coming. I'm still in prison. I was stolen away at 17 years of age. My whole young adult life is, am I going to stay in this prison forever? Did Joseph think those things? I don't know. But Joseph endured 2 more full years of imprisonment. Let's think about Joseph's life. Let's go back to Canaan. He was the number one son. Favorite son of daddy. He's got the coat. That means he's going to be the heir. He didn't mind wearing that coat around. Say, hey guys, look at my coat. He told them about his dreams about being number one and them all bowing down to him. He told them those things. He ends up being sold into slavery. Young Jewish boy on the caravan heading into Egypt where he didn't know the language. He didn't know the culture. He didn't know the dress. He didn't know the religion. So he's up there, then he's down there. He gets to Potiphar's house. And in time, he's up there again. He's the chief steward of all of Potiphar's house. Nothing goes on unless Joseph says it's okay. But then Potiphar's wicked wife falsely accuses him. And where does he end up? In the prison, the king's prison. And over time, the king's prison guard, keeper, sees something in him, and he's way up here again. He's kind of in charge of the prison. And then he gets this opportunity with the butler and baker, and he thought, man, this is my ticket out. This is how God's going to do this. I'm going to tell this butler the dream. He's going to get out. He's going to tell Pharaoh. I might even be right there at the side of Pharaoh interpreting dreams or something. But then all his hopes are dashed again. He's at the bottom again. I think Joseph could have become bitter, don't you? I think he could have become angry. He could have become fatalistic. What difference does it make? Why should I live for God anymore? He's forgotten about me. He could have felt there was no use in serving God at all. How would you feel? That's the key. When we were talking about Joseph with his brothers, he made a big mistake. He was prideful. He was proud. He boasted. When we talk about Joseph with Potiphar's wife, he made a big mistake. He was in there by himself. Did we see a mistake in this passage? I didn't see one. He's maturing. He's growing. God's got him in his school to learn how to manage things and to learn to depend on him. What does this chapter reveal about Joseph's work ethic? The phrase comes to my mind, bloom where you are planted. Wherever the Lord might have you, do the very, very best you possibly can do. And what's this reveal about God's faithfulness? God was with Joseph even when he was in the prison, regardless of where he was. Does Joseph being forgotten in prison cause God's faithfulness and love into question, call it into question? Absolutely not. God's still working out a plan. You know, one thing I think will free us from a lot of anxiety is when we realize that God is far more interested in his end result plan for my life than he is in my present comfort and convenience. He's got a plan that he's working for. So people may forget and abandon you, but the Lord Jesus Christ never will. I think we should strive to be the kind of people with a work ethic like Joseph. I think we should remember that God is faithful regardless of our circumstances and continue to place our trust in him. I think that I've posed a lot of hypothetical situations about how Joseph might have felt, but I get the idea. Joseph was just faithful, and he was still faithful, and he's learning that God is in control. We'll learn more about that in the coming chapters, how much he learned about that fact. What's the Lord spoken to you about tonight? Does it have to do with your work ethic? Does it have to do with, are you doubting whether God really cares or is present to help you? Or what might it be? I don't know what the Lord might have spoken to you through this passage, but there's a lot of powerful truth there, and I pray that you will respond in whatever way you need to. There may be someone sitting in this room that needs to place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation that's never done that. If that be the case, I urge you, repent of your sins. That means turn away from your sins. Place your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ and come to him for salvation. I encourage you to do that. Perhaps there's someone here that wants to unite with this church. Perhaps there's someone that needs to pray about something or some other need, some other response. You do exactly what you need to do as we enter into a time of invitation. Would you stand, please, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the life of Joseph. When I look at circumstances in his life and reversals in his life, I wouldn't want to trade places with him. But you've recorded all of this. You've given this to us for our help and our instruction. And Lord, I pray that like Joseph, we would be people that depend upon you, that bloom where we are planted, that trust you and give credit to you for your work in our lives and make ourselves available to be used by you even in our circumstances that might not be real good. Lord, I pray that you would accomplish in this time of invitation anything that needs to be accomplished, Lord. We don't have a preconceived notion, but just whatever you want to do in any of our hearts, I pray that you would accomplish that right now. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. You respond in any way the Lord's directed.